Okay, good evening. Thank you all of you for coming out. We have been doing this series, which I have been calling Life in the Heights, but tonight I'm discussing Light in the Heights, which is really connected to Life in the Heights. The question that has been increasingly coming up is that a number of buildings in the neighborhood have been installing the types of lights in the building wherein the light is always on and it's dim, but as you pass by, the light brightens. And the question is, are you allowed to live in this type of building? Or if you don't live in the building, if you live in the building, do you have to move out? If you don't live in the building, what happens if you're invited over for a Shabbos meal and things like this? And I have to admit that it's not a simple question. Just this week, I got an email from somebody asking about moving into one of those buildings. And it's a very hard question. Because on a certain level, obviously, halachically, we would prefer, like, again, Orthodox Jews don't use electricity on Shabbos, right? Given? Correct. If you want to disagree, you can, but you're wrong.
We don't turn it off wrong. We use it. We take advantage of it.
You always have some drusha, don't you? That's fine, Frida. We like you.
It's what
right?
I do.
But the point is that Orthodox Jews don't turn lights on and off on Shabbos. Is that a fair thing?
Yes.
I'm just today, actually, I was meeting with a candidate for conversion, and she was telling us about how she studied Judaism originally in the course for the conservative movement, and we were asking her, like, what did you learn that's different? So she was very interesting. She said, you know, the teacher understood that she was preparing to go for an Orthodox conversion. It happens that conservative conversion programs teach you how to read Hebrew better than Orthodox conversion programs,
yes,
in part because conservative conversion programs don't have as much substance of halacha to teach here. They don't have as much substance of halacha to teach, so therefore they focus on... you could just say. Therefore, they focus more heavily on the reading. So this young woman was in the conservative program, and she said that, like, the teacher would always point out when there are differences between orthodoxy and conservative. And I got to give the teacher a lot of credit, because this young woman was really good. It's rare that, it's rare on both extremes. It's rare that sometimes that someone is really good, and it's rare that sometimes you have a person who's really ungood, as they say. She was really very good, and I have to give them a lot of credit. So the question that we're dealing with tonight is, what about these new lights in the Heights? Now, why the buildings put in these lights? So buildings put in these lights for a simple reason,
security.
They are meant to conserve electricity and reduce the co-op's bill. You see, if the light is always on, right, a little bit, you don't spend that much money on the lights going on and off. Also, the type of lights that they have are very energy efficient lights. They are LED lights, which... actually are really an ignited gas, no? LED lights are really an ignited gas. That's what they are. And the question is, what's the story with these lights? Is it permitted or not? That's the question. And I have to admit that this is largely a work in progress. I know so far of three buildings in the Heights where this happens. Any of you live in any of those buildings?
No, we have. My building has an LED for getting into the building.
Right, so that's another thing. In other words, your building has an LED to get into the building in terms of when you put the key in.
No, it's actually you have like a thing that has I'll show you what it is. I have it. It's this.
Oh. Now, what do you do on Shabbos?
On Shabbos, we have...
You have a manual override.
No, we have a key.
Right, okay.
Now,
there are some... So we can discuss the locks also as part of this conversation. The issues are related. But for now, I want to focus just on the light. I haven't said anything yet. How can you have questions?
No, it's not a question. Yeah. I actually asked my father, who's a physicist, what an idea is. He said it's regular electricity, only the lights, when it's off, it's orange, and when the light and the electricity is being used,
when the circuit is created,
it turns green.
Okay. I mean, again, so these lights, these LED lights that they have in the buildings are like a type of white LED light. The thing is that you could use around 10 watts of electricity and get the output of roughly 80 watts, which is very impressive. They have many tiny little bulbs. Effectively, the way it works is that each bulb is on in a way that it looks like a yellow light at the beginning. And when you pass by, the light brightens because you're passing by an electric sensor, and that makes the light go on all the way. My assumption is that it's the same for all the buildings, although I have to admit I only looked at one building. But in each building I spoke to the supers, and the super always told me that it's LED lights. So that's the story. Now this takes us, of course, into the conversation about what is the reason why we don't use electricity on Shabbos. Okay, it's given that Orthodox Jews don't use electricity. Don't turn electricity on and off on Shabbos. Right? Gila is smiling already, right? We could all read Frida's facial expressions. So, the story over here is not at all simple. There is a position of the Chazon Ish that all electricity, the use of electricity on Shabbos, in the sense of if I create a circuit, that is going to be an Isser D'Oraisa, the Chazon Ish says. That's an Isser D'Oraisa. The Chazon Ish is found here in the third source that I give you. In Or Chaim Siminun Ostes. Min ha'amor nomad, aman l'kner chashma b'shabes, yesh bo mishum mechamim es ha'barzel, sheyesh bo mishum mevashel, elo dehev epsik resha delo nicholei mikom bakom aser, ve'eshad achim umserfo l'havaris hazerem, v'chor shev nicholei, umiyu koze emiksos ha'chot magi eliyad soledes. The Chazon Ish at first said an idea which is wild and not accepted, or not accepted because it doesn't exist in the real world. The Chazon says the reason why you don't use electricity on Shabbos is because the wires get hot. And when the wires get hot, you are effectively halachically cooking the metal. Right? Did any of you, your cell phone, no? If you are using your cell phone for a long time, yeah. Does it get hot?
Yeah.
It gets hot, right? The old radios and stuff could get hot.
Yeah.
Right, big time. Laptops get very hot. Computers get very hot. In fact, most computers have like a fan built in to make sure it doesn't get too hot. Now, the Chazon Ish is saying that if the wires get to the temperature of Yad Soledes, which we define as 113 degrees Fahrenheit, that is halachically cooking. Now, this is a little questionable, no? You see, like, whoa, slowly. So, Moshe has different temperatures for Yad Soledes, 120, 160, 180, depending on what we're talking about. Not for now.
Okay.
But let's assume the lower temperature of 113 Fahrenheit. That temperature usually is a temperature for Yad Soledes with regard to foods, no?
Mm-hmm.
Are the electrical wires in the wall of your house, are they edible?
No.
Have you tried? How do you know? Because they're not, right?
Yes.
They're not edible. So far, so good.
Yes.
Now, what that means... Yeah, Gila.
What if they automatically... Like, you know only electrical cords that have that override if it gets too hot? So whatever, I don't know enough about electricity, but I'm saying in theory, you had that override, it would never reach 100.
Correct. So if it would never get that hot, it would not be a problem. And even if it does get that hot, the Chazon Ish is very questionable because the Chazon Ish is using Yad Soledes as a definition of cooking by non-food items like wires. And as a matter of general halacha, we assume that that for non-food items, cooking means that you change the state. It goes from solid to liquid, liquid to gas, something like that. So it's a difficult Chazon Ish in this part. Then the Chazon Ish writes, next paragraph, and this is the famous paragraph. The first part of the Chazon Ish is not accepted. Also, the first part of the Chazon Ish is less relevant today as our technology gets better, wires don't get as hot. Correct? Solid state? Anyone physicist over here? Anyone? Your father. Fine. Od yesh bazeh misham tikkun mana. Kemen shema amido al tchuna sol izrom es zerem hachashma betmidos. V'karov hadavar dezebone min hatarik osekli. V'koshi ken kan shikar chutim mechubarim lebayis v'hevolei kibinyan b'mechubar. Says the Chazon Ish that the real iser of electricity is tikkun mana, is that you are fixing something, and it might be like bona. Because what I have is a circuit or that is not connected, it's not closed. When I close the circuit, remember elementary school physics, anyone? That you have that light bulb, and there's a power source on this end, and it goes to the wires, and then when it touches the light bulb, you connect that circuit, it lights up. When you connect a circuit, says the Chazon Ish, what you are doing is, you are either tikkun mana, you're either fixing something, or it is bona min hatayra. He says it might be, it's karov hadavar, that it's like bona min hatayra. That's what the Chazon Ish says. Now, this part of the Chazon Ish is very mechudash, and I have to admit, most of our poskim in our world do not hold to this part of the Chazon Ish. Meaning what the Chazon Ish is saying is that if I create a circuit to operate something, let's take a simple fan. Remember those fans that you had in camp to keep you cool but didn't like do anything? You know what I'm talking about? They're like, remember this? Any of you went to camp? Right? Whatever. But those fans just makes a circuit and it just spins around and around. If there's a light bulb, I could say maybe there's an Isidore Raisa. If it's an incandescent bulb, that's going on. But over here, it's just a fan. But the Chazon Ish says, no, even a fan is an Isidore Raisa because you're making a circuit. That part of the Chazon Ish is not accepted. Generally speaking, we assume that creating an electrical circuit that does not create a light is assumed to be something that is heat generating, and it is going to be an iser min hatayra of mavir if you make a light with an incandescent bulb. That's the oraisa. But if I don't make a light bulb go on, if I just have a fan go on, we assume that's oser midrabanon, but it's not clear what the iser midrabanon is. Not clear. And the poskim discuss it, and all of this will be relevant for our discussion over here of these electrical lights. So far, so good? Now, there is a position, the earliest source regarding electricity is true by Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis. Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis was a Rav in Lvov. And he wrote this true in 1856, which, FYI, is the same year that Alexander Graham Bell got the patent on the telephone. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Hine, right, the first source. Bifnim dibarti odos ner elektri. I speak about electrical lights inside the sefer. This is the hashmatos. This is like a section at the end of the sefer. So as kirba zebedin in mishain medaber b'shabes al mechona hanikris telephone. The telephone came out in 1856. Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis is writing a tshuva in 1856. This is pretty new technology, no? Are you allowed to speak on the telephone in Shabbos? V'nei l'fiyan yistayti, yesh iser b'davar, v'shomer navsho yirchak mizeh. It's usser, and if you care about your soul, you stay away from speaking on the phone. Kil milova mashemukhrech ha-medaber b'mchona kazos, l'haklas mikon m'pamon, eis yirtza l'daber, v'zeh usser midin nashmi akol. If you want to speak on the phone, first you have to bang on the bell before you use it. Is that the way phones work today? Not that I recall. Right? I don't think so, but he says, and banging on the bell would be usher because of mashmi yakol, it's making noise. Still, yesh lesar, od, mishum da'ayde segiras zerem elektri, noad koach elektri, b'zeh usher b'shabes. When you have the flow of electrons, that creates electricity, and creating electricity is usher on Shabbos, the kemo b'schufei kasa ashiraya, meaning beitzah chaf gimel, the aser mishamola dreicha, who had in the aser lasos elektrisha fer bindrung b'Shabbos, who may high time a aser ladati lasos zoda vaser b'Shabbos, misham de gamsha molid harkava chemis. Says Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis, you are creating a electrical current, right? I think that's what elektrisha feder bing is. An electrical current. And when you create an electrical current, you are like someone who's mavir sechufei kasa ashiroi. If I take some spices and I rub it on clothing, the Gemara Beta calls that an iser derabanan of moled reyach bibgodim. I make my clothing smell nice. I'm making something new on the clothing. So therefore, when I have my electric circuit, my current, it makes something new. Now I can speak on the phone. It makes something new. Now I have a fan that operates, no? It's making something new, and it's usher, just like making seltzer is usher on Shabbos. That's what he writes, no? Mahaitaima usher l'dati lasos zodavasar. Zodavasar is seltzer. I brought in from my office, the Living Israel magazine, a whole article about SodaStream. Everyone ever heard of it?
Yes.
According to Yitzchak Shmelkes, are you allowed to use SodaStream on Shabbos?
No.
Well, if you use electricity on Shabbos, you can use SodaStream on Shabbos. That's what Yitzchak Shmelkes says. Huh? What? Because when you make seltzer, everybody knows that what you're doing is you're adding bubbles to the water, right? And when you... What?
It's like making a salad.
It's like making a salad. So Gila's already thinking, like, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, one second, you tell me that making anything new is usher on Shabbos? If I make a cup of tea on Shabbos, so water used to be clear, and now it looks like tea. There's something new, there's a new color there. Shouldn't that be a problem? So says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, my dear Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, I don't know what you're talking about. And Reb Shlomo Zalman and other poskim happen to permit making soda on Shabbos, making seltzer on Shabbos. I got in, I don't know, trouble a few years ago, or I mentioned this to Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes and Zalman said, Rabbi Schwartz, if you say it's also to make seltzer on Shabbos, like you have to retract, like for the whole community to hear. And I said, listen, you know, it seems to me that the earliest tshuva regarding electricity on Shabbos is a tshuva of Yitzchak Shmelkes. On some level, I have questions on it, but it also makes the most sense to me. So I'd rather not make seltzer on Shabbos and be safe. Because I don't use electricity on Shabbos, so it seems to me that following his line of reasoning, making seltzer on Shabbos is the same thing. Now again, Reb Shlomo Zalman does entertain in the tshuva that I give you in Siman Tes over here. He says, maybe when you add the fragrance to clothing, that's different than making seltzer in the sense of when I add fragrance to clothing, it remains permanently, right? But well, let's go slowly.
What's permanent? I go put it in the laundry and it's gone.
I go put it in the laundry, but it will stay there for a very long time. Again, depending on the fragrance that you add, etc.
Depending on the cloth.
On cloth, right. It could last for a very long time. As opposed to something that has a switch, like electricity, it's meant to go on and off and on and off. It's not meant to last for a long time. It's meant to go on and off and on and off.
That's what I still don't understand. It's not going on and off. It's going more on. It's like
So we're going to bring it down to our case in a minute. But Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes is saying that the iser of using electricity is because it is molid. And molid means there's some noticeable change. Now, which type of noticeable changes are usser, which types are mutter, I'm not sure. Right? That's one of the issues that Reb Shlomo Zalman takes issue with. But one could argue that if there is no noticeable change, if I just have a circuit that goes on and off and on and off and nothing changes, so maybe that's not a problem. Let me give you an example. One of my friends who's a rabbi happens that I'm at a stage of life that a lot of my friends are rabbis. So in their shul, they have an Aron Kodesh. So far, so good. And the Aron Kodesh has a security system. Because you don't want people to come and steal your Sefer Torah, right? So far, so good. What's their security system? Their security system is a relatively simple system that they turn a key. And when they turn the key, they create a circuit. And when you break that circuit, either you break the circuit by turning the circuit off, in which case nothing happens, or you break the circuit by opening the doors, and then you hear loud noises. So this guy asked Reb David Feinstein, is he allowed to use this security system? When you just turn the key, you don't notice any difference at all, no? I don't notice anything. I turn the key, and now I have a circuit. If I open the doors, I'm going to hear, you know the car alarm that goes off every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning in Washington Heights?
Yeah.
You know, right? You're part of town also? Right? Right? After Mr. Frosty stops coming at 2:30, then we get car alarms that start coming at 3. A couple of years ago, actually, around 4 o'clock in the morning, some guy was like honking on his horn in front of our building, and he's like honking for his girlfriend to come down. And he's like screaming her name again and again and again. My wife opened the window and let that guy have it, I'm telling you. Oh, unbelievable. But life in the Heights, right? At least you're called Life in the Heights. Baruch Hashem. So what's the story with this? One could argue that if there's no noticeable change, there is no isser of using electricity on Shabbos. Now, when there is a noticeable change, for example, the key cards, no?
Yeah, that's
the key cards that open. So a number of the buildings in the Heights now have like what you have, or they have, or in hotels, you put a key in, and there's always going to be some change. You know, the light goes red to green or something. If there's a noticeable change, I don't think I have a heter like this. But if there's no noticeable change, I would argue that perhaps there is a heter that it's not called I'm using electricity. Mashallah mahadavar dome. Okay, whenever I walk outside on Shabbos or during the week, right, I have some surveillance cameras that are taking pictures of me. I am sure that there's somebody in Mr. Trump's office who's looking at every single picture of me. Now, maybe not me, I'm not that important, but you understand what I'm saying, right? You walk outside, they have satellites, they're always taking pictures. Google Earth is really taking pictures of everything, correct? That's what it does. So why am I allowed to do that? Well, there's no real noticeable change, no? First of all, you have no idea that you're doing anything, right? You have no idea that you're doing anything. Second of all, there's no real noticeable change from your end. Many security systems operate like this. One could argue that if there's no noticeable change, we have it better. Now, this will not help us in the context of our lights, because with our lights, there is a noticeable change, no? It goes from like the yellowish whatever, and it becomes real bright. So is there a heter? So we have to discuss a few other things very briefly. You know, in many suburban communities, people have these motion-activated lights.
Yeah, so
we have them in the Heights also, no? You walk down the street, and vayihi-or! Suddenly, chick-chack, boom, right? It lights up. Are you allowed to walk, right? Remember the Russian Express card as kids don't leave home, right? We get into that point on Shabbos. That was a joke, because the American Express card was don't leave home without it. So, zero. On Saturday Night Live, when I was in high school, they had the Russian Express card, don't leave home, Chevy Chase, right? Well, it's Mechadish, this. Okay, whatever, I wasted too much time. But the point is that over here there is a noticeable change. However, there is a discussion in Poskim about if I do something by what's called an electric eye, seeing stuff. That's really far away. And I'm just doing what I normally do, and I don't intend for this to happen at all. So, in this Sefer, the Urchos Shabbos, the Urchos Shabbos is a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos that was put together by Mr. Rav Reuben, who was the Rav in Har Nof, in the shul where that massacre never happened a few years ago. So in the Urchos Shabbos, he says as follows. Here, this is on he says, obviously, if you can avoid it, you should avoid it. But if not, he quotes, and this is in footnote 36, in footnote 56, he has the same idea. He has the same idea on note 39. I think that's the main place where he develops it. Now, basically, if I'm just walking on Shabbos and something happens on my own, I'm not really intending for it. It's not called halachically Meleches Machsheves. Right? Meleches Machsheves means I intend for this action to happen. If the action happens and I'm somehow directly involved in it, I turn on the switch, then I'm doing it. But if I'm just walking and it happens that some guy has like a camera in front of his house, so they quote that Rav Vosner and others, they permit it. Actually, you can see this Rav Vosner in the tshuvas I give you at the very end, on page 4. Here, let's go, page 3 and 4 at the bottom. Chelak Yutzim and Sabah. Now, Kivod Yaviti Hayakar, etc., Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai HaKohen Rubin, that's the author of this book, of the Archos Shabbos, who lives in Har Nof. Michtavo, I got your letter from Gimel Kislev, and I'll try to answer briefly. This that you asked, that there are certain hospitals, that in the room there's like a camera that puts whatever goes on in the room on a screen. And that is sent to the nurse's station. And when a person goes into the room, your picture appears on the screen. And the question is, are you allowed to go into such a room on Shabbos or not? So he says, L'masha kasafti ba'ani b'kama mekomos. Dim ein adam osa shom pe'ula shom malacha derach ma'aseh. Rak omeid v'holei kedarko. V'ayidei zeh gam b'lidai to v'kavanoso nasa yitziras ma'isa me'eloha. So in Bazal Kopam Malachas Machsheves Doi Raisa, he atar usra Malachas Machsheves, I am Pulas Masa Umachsheves, Ramatinu Kazab Lamatas Malachas and Totosan the Mishkan. Veino Dome, Lemlacha Guru, etc. He basically says that something that happens just when you pass by, that's not really called a malacha. You're not really doing anything wrong. Now, in the Archos Shabbos, when he quotes this idea, he says, you know what? Don't rely on this. Don't rely on this because this is a very difficult svara that only Gedolei Hador can say and only in difficult cases, and obviously we should try to avoid it. So I wouldn't want to rely on that on my own. In the English Hilchos Shabbos book, the Rabbi Ribiat, 4-volume set on Shabbos, so he has a whole section regarding electricity. It's found on page, 1200 or something. Huh? I looked it up before. It's not like I remember this stuff on my own.
That's only one. 4 volumes.
In rural areas, and even in maybe suburban, in many suburban neighborhoods, where the general area is unlit, walking in the range of motion sensor lights indeed presents a serious halachic problem. In these cases, it must be conceded that a pedestrian does benefit significantly from the light that's caused, and you cannot consider a psuk reisha de lo nichole. In this case, you have to do the utmost to avoid the route, even if it requires circumventing the street and walking a great distance. If absolutely no other means of passage are available. For example, every single street in Schnippeshock has one of these lights, no? That's why you shouldn't live in Schnippeshock. So then one should try, when he feels he is almost in range of the sensor, to walk toward the area while covering his eyes. He probably meant her eyes also. He just writes everything b'lashon zachar. You should do it while covering his eyes so as not to derive benefit from the light when it flashes on. You may then uncover your eyes after you sense that the light has flashed on. This is admittedly somewhat of an awkward solution. It's nevertheless a halachically viable one. And in footnote 71 of Mavir, this is page 1215, he goes to length to say if you close your eyes, that can help. Now, obviously, it's not ideal, but in a situation like this in these buildings, it might be a solution. Now, it's interesting, though. One of these buildings wrote a note to one of the tenants where, let me read you the note. This comes from the whatever owner's corporation. After multiple exchanges involving many well-thought-out questions and extended discussions, advisors told us that it's their opinion that there is a rabbinical exception. And they write as follows. According to the Shevet Halevi, this is coming from the co-op board. According to the Shevet Halevi, volume 9, number 69, and volume 10, number 60, it should be a clear heter in the case of only voltage change. Now here's the problem. I give you Shevet HaLevi 1060 and 969. It doesn't say that. I don't know what the co-op board is saying. They have a different tactic that just if you walk by, it's not really doing anything. That's what the Shevet HaLevi says. But I don't know if the Shevet HaLevi himself says you can only use this kula in a Bikur Cholim situation, etc. I think it's a little difficult to rely on the Shevet HaLevi alone. Hi, Gila.
Hi. I'm confused for a second. Does this light go brighter only when you go through the main entrance, or if you went through a back entrance?
It goes brighter whenever you go past any electric eye near the light. Like these lights are, let's say, in the stairwells or in the hallways.
Okay.
Whenever you pass by, now one of the buildings tried to to turn the lights off in the hallway on Shabbos in front of the Jewish apartments. That did not work well, because at night, it's pitch black. So then they try to turn it on all the way. Apparently, it doesn't really work well. This became a whole to-do in one of the buildings over here on Bennett Avenue. So is there a heter? So it seems to me that our case might be a little bit better. Let me explain. First of all, the lights are LED lights, which we mentioned are only also midrabanan. Right? Second of all, we have a category in halacha called the psik resha delo nichalei. Psik resha means that if I do action A and action B happens inevitably, that is psik resha. I do A, right, and B happens all the time. I drag a bench, it's a heavy bench, and I'm going to make a hole in the ground all the time. That's psik resha. But there's sometimes that's psik resha de nichalei, sometimes that's psik resha delo nichalei. Psik resha denichalei means I'm happy with the result. Psik resha delonichalei means I'm not happy with the result. Now, one could argue you're never happy with the result because you don't want to be mechal Shabbos, but we mean if it would be on a Wednesday, would you be happy? So now, here's the thing. One could argue, in Rabbi Ribiat's book, right on the same page, 1215, 1214, he speaks about in an urban neighborhood, if the lights go on, he says, if there is already light in that area, that's a psik resha delo nichalei, and that's permitted. Why? It's a psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan. Now, even that is not so simple. The last verse I give you on these sheets is a comment of the Mishnah Brura, who only permits psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan, the makom tzar. If, right, the case is that if there's a bird in your apartment, no? And it's the winter, and it's cold, and the window's open. And it's cold because the window's open. If you close the window, the bird's going to be trapped in your apartment. It's not a normal way of trapping birds. If you close the window, the bird's going to be trapped. And it's cold because it's cold. You don't want, right? So your intention is to close the window to keep the cold out. And an inevitable result is that the bird gets trapped. If it's the type of animal, the type of bird that's not tzad min ha-Torah, that's not called trapping min ha-Torah, since it's tsar, since it's discomfort, pain, the Mishnah Berurah permits it. Mishnah Berurah permits a psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan b'makom tsar. Rabbi Warlick in his Sefer argues, based on Taisus and Daf Kuf Gimel on Shabbos and Daf Lamed Gimel on Sukkah, that we can always permit psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan. That's what Rabbi Wallach says. Chacham Avadi Yosef, Kusa Yogin Aleinu, also paskins that psik resha the drabanan is always permitted. So we could argue as follows. Since we're dealing with a drabanan, and it's a psik resha, maybe is this a lo nichalei? Because I could walk the steps just fine with the dim light. The light gets brighter. It helps me walk a teeny bit. You can't argue that there's no benefit. But there's nothing that I could not have done beforehand that I'm doing now. So one could argue maybe that's a psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan. Perhaps. Right? This makes sense, Ben?
You said yes.
What?
I have another question.
Right? In other words, if it's a psik resha delo nichalei on a drabanan, maybe we can permit it. Now, I'm not convinced of this, because one could argue that the fact that these lights are going on and they become brighter shows it is nichalei. I want the brighter lights. It's easier to walk when the lights are bright. I'm not sure, though, because maybe I could argue that it's only called nichalei if there's some activity that I could not have done beforehand, and now I can do. In this case, I could walk before, right, in the dim light, or I could walk with the bright light. If I'd be trying to read a book, you're right, then it'd be nichalei. You can't read in the dim light, no? But now, maybe it's secretion of the lo nichalei. Certainly, if you close your eyes, Rabbi Ribiat's thing, so that would certainly help. Now, I do think that the community has a certain responsibility to try to convince the buildings to be more accommodating to Orthodox Jews. So, whatever you say, even if it's mutter, and I do think that there are grounds to be makel, but we want to encourage the buildings to be more accommodating to Orthodox Jews and not to have these light systems on Shabbos, but it seems to me like there might be a potential heter. Now for the rebuttal from the opposition party.
And rebuttal, but wasn't the Mishnah Berurah's case Jerubanan for two reasons? Because a bird in a roof isn't...
You can't get it in one jump.
Right. So isn't that Jerubanan for two reasons? We're discussing this.
So the Mishnah Berurah is so sir himself. I gave you one Mishnah Berurah. In the introduction to the Shemir Shabbos, Volume 3, he has a very long and drawn-out stira in different Mishnah Berurahs. In some places, Mishnah Berurah only permits two Derabbanans. Other places, he permits even one Derabbanan. I gave this case because it's the easiest one to understand without full background, admitted. But the point is that these are not simple cases, no? So when this guy emailed me last week, he said, should I move into that building? I heard that the lights. I said, listen, you know, it's a great building. At the same time, you know, hopefully the building will change. But right now the building is not being so accommodating to the Orthodox Jews. Or the Orthodox Jews in the building. You know, I actually, when I found out about this the first time in the first building, so I knew that there were some various people in that in one of those buildings also.
Oh,
so I went to the building down near the Breuer's Base Medrash. I went to Rav Rubanowitz, the Rosh Hashiva in Breuer's. He's a gem of a guy, by the way. He's a wonderful person. And Rav Rubanowitz and I had a nice conversation about it, and then Rav Rubanowitz spoke to Rav Mantel, because officially Rav Mantel passes on the Shalos, Rav Mantel said, even though maybe there are reasons to be makel, but he feels it's a terrible thing for the yeshiva guys to live in a building like that, because you have to educate people for a proper observance of halacha. I actually understand that. I think that makes sense. And he was saying, like, they got to move out of the building unless they change the lights. Then they change the lights. Like, sometimes they play hardball, they're more willing to change the lights. Now, again, I think, you know, we have to analyze every situation on its own. The situation, like in a hospital, when you're on the screen or something, that's to protect the patient, right? So over there, besides the fact I'm not convinced that there's any issur whatsoever to have your picture placed on some closed-circuit TV, unless you're posing. Hi! I don't think there's any issur whatsoever. In that, I think this case is really more problematic, this case with the lights. One could discuss, is this situation the nichalei or the lo nichalei? I think that's really the crux of the conversation. If it's a situation the nichalei, so it's much harder to be makel. Again, situation the nichalei means I do action A, action B happens automatically, and I'm happy with the result. If I assume I'm happy with the result of the brighter lights, so then I have a harder time being lenient in these cases. It's an open discussion, and thank you for listening. Yeah, Ben, why don't you ask me now, just like...